Good morning. For all you fathers, happy Father's Day. I would remind you that our giving is done before or after the service in the bags at the door. And I would also remind you that tomorrow and the next 4 days we have VBS. And last I knew, we had 100 young people signed up to participate. And in case you're not aware, because of COVID, we're having two 2-day sessions, Monday, Tuesday, and then a duplicate Wednesday, Thursday. And also, there's no Sunday night Bible study until the last Sunday in September. Let's stand for the call to worship. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love. Lord, teach me your decrees.
Thank you.
shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Please be seated. Reading from Luke chapter 18. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we come before you and we acknowledge that those who are proud are those whom you hate. We acknowledge that pride often creeps into our own lives, and we begin to compare ourselves to people around us. We ask, Lord, that we would continually keep before us the person of Jesus Christ and understand that he is without sin, that he is our head, and that we are made righteous not because of anything that we have done, but because of his work, and that he took upon himself all of our sin, and that we are in him and therefore robed in his righteousness. Teach us, Father, to consider other men and women as ourselves, that we would love them, that we would love them because you did love us, and that we would not be those who would be stiff-necked and proud, that truly we would be the servant of others, knowing that you have called us to service. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. From 1 Peter, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you.
Thank you.
us pray. Our Father and God, as we come before you this morning, we thank you and praise you that you bid us come and tell you all that's on our hearts, that you tell us to pour out our concerns, for you do care for us. And Father, you also tell us that when we come, we need to come with praise and thanksgiving upon our lips. So we ask, Father, that we would be thankful and that we would remember that the root of our joy is that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as we consider this, Father, we thank you that you have sent your Spirit to us and that your Spirit enables us to call you Father and that your Spirit is the one who leads us into truth. We ask that each of us would learn to walk by the Spirit, that each of us would learn not to grieve the Spirit, and that we would appreciate and understand the significance of the Holy Spirit being the one who seals us into Christ. We thank you that each one of us is indwelt by the Spirit, and therefore, because we have one Spirit, we ought to be of one mind. We ask as we meditate upon these things that you would search our hearts by your Spirit, and that you would determine whether there be any wicked way in any of us, and that you would, by your Spirit, convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and lead us into that truth, that we would praise you and give you thanks and exalt your Son. We ask, Lord, that we as a congregation would be known as your people, and that our reputation would be such that we live and to walk by faith, that as a congregation we would acknowledge that we are totally dependent upon you, and that we who are your people would hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you, and that we would be able to speak so that we speak the truth in love, and that when we speak, we would also give grace to the hearer. We thank you for the privilege that you give us to be kings and priests in your kingdom. And as we consider our privileges, Father, we ask that you would teach us to pray for those in authority over us, that we might continue to live in peace, that we may continue to live in such a manner that we may openly proclaim the gospel, that we would not take this privilege for granted, but that we would understand that this is a high privilege and that we have this wonderful opportunity to be the ambassador for Jesus Christ that we are designed to be. We thank you that we look forward to the soon return of your Son, and that we look forward to standing before you, robed in his righteousness for eternity. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Do we have any children? How are you all this morning? Are you good? Yeah. So this morning, why don't you tell me something about what you think heaven's about? What do you think heaven? What do you think? You know, if I was going to tell you that I was going to take you to heaven, what would you be expecting to see? What would you tell me? God. What? You got it. You really would see God. Absolutely. Anything else? Yeah, well, yep, we already said that. But, you know, it's a place, okay? So it's not just that we're going to see a person. But if I told you I was going to take you to, I grew up in suburban Philadelphia. So if I told you I was going to take you to Philadelphia, what would you expect to find? Tall buildings, dirty streets, people who would run over you on the sidewalk. You might see all that, okay? But God gives us something in the Bible to give us something to compare what we know with what God has in heaven. Do you know what the word compare means? A to show you. I have two books here, okay? And if we compare them, this book is fatter than this book. This book is not only skinnier, but it's smaller. This book is got a hardcover, it's cardboard. This book has leather, it's bendable, okay? So when we compare them, we know something about how they're different. But we also know that there's something the same. They're both books, and they have pages, and you can turn them. Now, God gave us something about heaven that we can compare with what we know. So tell me, when you drive down the road in your car, do you ever look at the road? What does the road look like? Never look at the road? If you walk on the street, what do you see? Go ahead. Yeah, it's black and yellow dashes. Yep, that's right. Oh, you're right. They're white dashes too. Yeah. Anything else? No. Sometimes roads are small stones, aren't they? It's called gravel. You know, God tells us that the roads, something about the roads in heaven. You know, we're familiar with roads, aren't we? We know what roads look like. We drive cars on them. They're brown. They're black. Sometimes they're concrete and they're painted. But you know what God says about the streets in heaven? He says that they're gold. How would you like to drive your bicycle car on this? Okay? He tells you that the streets in heaven are gold. So we know something. We know something about heaven. We know that it has roads. We're familiar with roads. So we know there's something same. It's the same. Like these are books. They're the same. But we know something also, that the roads in heaven are gold. So they're different than what we have here. They're much more valuable. So if you want to ride your bicycle on gold roads, you know what you have to do? You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you get to ride your bicycle on gold roads. Thank you. Let's stand to sing "Jesus is Coming Again."
Thank you. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Father, as we meditate upon this portion of your word, we ask that you would open our eyes and illumine our hearts by the light of your word, and that you would take captive our minds, hearts, souls by the power of your love. In Jesus Christ's name. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, the author tells us that Jesus is the apostle and priest. And he has spent the rest of chapter 3 and the first part of chapter 4 speaking of Jesus as an apostle, and how Jesus is the one by whom we enter into the rest of God. And now he's moving into the second portion of that, and that is Jesus as the high priest. And the apostle instructs Christians in knowledge of the high priest, who is he, and then what kind of priest he is, and then what we are to do as a result. So as we progress through this, I hope that things will be clear. The first is, what kind of high priest is Jesus? He is a great high priest. Now, the Old Testament had high priests, and Aaron and all the other subsequent high priests were held in high regard. They're the ones who were into the Holy of Holies, and they wore the ephod, and they wore the various other garments, and they carried breastplate with the stones representing Israel. And so when they went into the Holy of Holies, they not only took blood but to sprinkle on the mercy seat, but they took representations of the 12 tribes. And they're the high priests. But they're just faint shadows of who Christ is. Jesus is the high priest who is great. And what does he do? He ascended into heaven. The high priest in the Old Testament, they disappeared from the people once a year. They went into the Holy of Holies, sprinkled the blood, and they had bells on the bottom of their, so that they would be certain that they didn't die in there. And nobody else was allowed in there. And they had to have some way of understanding whether that high priest with the blood was acceptable, and then that he was still able to come out. Jesus died once, and he ascended into heaven. And when he ascended into heaven, he took his blood and sprinkled his blood upon the mercy seat. And Jesus executed one part of his priesthood here on earth. That part was sacrificial. And he did this by dying for us. But he has other high priestly duties, and he executes them in heaven. What does he do for us? He pleads our cause. He pleads for us. He intercedes for us, and he presents our offerings. I don't know if you remember, but a few months ago, we had a series on the sacrifices to be offered up by the Christian. One of them was sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of service, sacrifice of your body, sacrifice of your prayer. Prayer is incense, sacrifice regarding your giving, which is sweet-smelling aroma. And Jesus is the one who presents these offerings. He's the priest, and he presents these offerings, and he intercedes for us. And the greatness of this person who is our high priest is that he's also the Son of God. He is eternal. And because he is eternal, he is superior to us. Later on in the book of Hebrews, we'll see that God created him a body. The phrase is, "Thou hast created for me a body." And he, when he takes upon himself a body, he becomes a man. And as a man, he is our priest, because a high priest is to come from the brethren. He is to be one of those for whom he's the priest. And Jesus not only is eternal, but his name tells us something of his greatness also. He is Jesus, the one who is the one to save his people from their sins. He is a physician. And his ability as a physician is that he saves us from our sin. There is this narrative in the New Testament where a man is let down through a roof. And there's some conversation, and Jesus says, which is easier to say, rise up and walk, or your sins are forgiven? They're both easy to say. I just said them. The question is, do you have the power to do what you've said? And when Jesus was demonstrating that he was able to forgive sins, he demonstrated that because he told the individual to rise up and walk. And in telling that individual that he could rise up and walk, he was also demonstrating his power to forgive sin. Jesus is the one who is able to heal us from all our diseases. He is not only great, but he's a gracious high priest. He's merciful. And because he's gracious and merciful, we know that he is compassionate. And why do we know this? Because he was tempted in every way such as we are, and yet without sin. He took all the power of the devil. If you use this language, Jesus took 100% of the power of the devil to deceive, and yet without sin. Whereas you and I, some of us can't endure 3% or less. But Jesus was tempted in every way such as we, and yet without sin. And therefore, he is able to be merciful and compassionate. Sometimes when I listen to adults talk about children, I think you forgot that you're a child. Sometimes as a father, I forgot that I was once a son. Jesus doesn't forget that he's a man. Jesus doesn't forget to be compassionate and merciful. He was tempted in every way such as we, and yet without sin. So he understands our infirmities. He understands your weakness. He understands, and he listens compassionately. How well do you listen when somebody pours out their heart? How well do you listen, or do you listen with a judgmental attitude? You see, Christ hears the plea of the sinner. He hears that brokenhearted plea for mercy and grace, because he was tempted. And he understands as men. Not only is Christ Jesus great in that matter, but he himself is the one who is sinless. And because he is sinless, he is able to enable us to turn and flee. You know, when you're tempted by the devil, you know, you're not supposed to fight him. You're supposed to resist him and flee from him. Don't fight. The fight was already at the cross. It's done. But we have a responsibility to resist and to flee. A model of this in the Old Testament is Joseph. Potiphar's wife sought to seduce him, and what did Joseph do? He ran. And that's what we are to do when we are tempted. We're to run. And yet many of us play with temptation. But Jesus understands our weakness, and we seldom meet with temptations that will destroy us unless we have a Savior. The Satan and the world are out to destroy you. And Jesus is the one, because he is compassionate, he's been tempted just like we are. Because he is the one who intercedes for us. He's constantly interceding for us. That's one of his priestly duties. Because of that work of his grace and mercy, we are able to resist. But we cannot resist apart from ourselves. He is holy, he is harmless, he is undefiled, and this is the one who is our high priest. He's the one who carried his blood into the Holy of Holies, and he now sits at the right hand of God, interceding for you, sympathetic to you, and he cares for you. So how should we respond to this person? This eternal person who sympathizes with you, who understands your weakness. First of all, we need to hold fast our profession of faith. That's what the author says. He says, we need to let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. How firmly do you hold on to your faith? Oftentimes, when you talk to people, you find out they don't necessarily carry their faith into the workplace. And you also find out that they don't necessarily carry their faith onto the lake when they're fishing. Or they don't carry their faith on vacation. They only carry their faith in church. That's not holding fast the profession of your faith. Holding fast the profession of your faith is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year job. Holding that profession of faith, that includes a few things. One of them it includes is the understanding who you are. You're a sinner. You tend to be proud. You tend to not want to submit to God's word. You tend to want to do things that you want to do. That's your tendency. But when you hold fast the profession of your faith, you hold fast to the fact that you are God's child and that you are broken over Christ. Paul writes in one place, he says that Jesus Christ is a rock. And some people will be broken over him, and others will be ground under him. You, by God's mercy and grace, are broken over him. And because you are broken, then you understand what David says. David says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And we are broken. And because we are broken, we know who we are. I will remind you what Paul said at the end of his life in 1 Timothy. It's a worthy and acceptable statement that Christ came to die for sinners, and I'm the chief. Paul, at the end of his life, understood that even though he had started all these churches, he had suffered, he was beaten by the Jews, he was in prison, he was the chief of sinners. He was broken. And our brokenness allows us to come before him and hang on to that profession of faith. Because when we hang on to that profession of faith, we are able to be joyful. Because our joy is not rooted in circumstances. Our joy is not rooted in anything in this world. Our joy is rooted in our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you need to hang on to that. You need to hang on to who you are in Christ. He is your high priest. And so in the process of acknowledging him as high priest and acknowledging that he died for your sins, you hang on to who you are in Christ. That you're a child of God by faith and you're an ambassador. You don't belong here. You're a pilgrim. You hang on to that. You have to. What else do? You need to be encouraged. Not because of anything you are, but because of who your high priest is. You need to understand that this one who created the heavens and the earth, he's the one who sustains the heavens and the earth. He's the one who loves you. Roll that around in your mind a bit. The one who called forth, let there be light, there was light. The one who said, peace be still to the waves, this one says, I love you. You need to be encouraged. So when the apostle writes and he says, all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to purpose, don't stop there. Go on. The good and the purpose is to be conformed to the image of his Son. So everything that happens in my life is designed to make me look like, sound like, smell like Christ. Everything. You need to hold on to that. You need to hold on to this, that this is what the high priest is doing for me through the Holy Spirit. I need to hang on to this, so I need to be encouraged. And the excellency of our high priest should also convey to us the heinousness of apostasy, the heinousness of denying the one who loved you and died for you. There is nothing in this world that is more valuable than eternity. It has been said that one of the church fathers, Polycarp, was on his way to become a martyr. And on the way, he was asked whether he would deny Christ. And it's reputed that he had said, should I deny the one who's been faithful to me for 86 years? Can I be faithful for a few more hours? You have eternity. God has given you the gift of eternal life. And so when we look at what the high priest is doing, what he has done, then it becomes heinous to deny him. Absolutely heinous. How would I dare deny the one who poured out his life for me? And yet, how often do we do that? How often do we deny him? But if we hang on to that profession of faith, then we would understand how heinous it is. Then we need to understand that because of the person and nature of our high priest, that we are free to enter into the presence of God boldly. Boldly. You see, when we enter into the presence of God, we don't enter into the presence of God just me. I enter into the presence of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, and because the high priest is interceding for me, and I can enter in boldly. How bold are you in your prayer? You see, when we enter boldly, we need to be on a certain errand. Notice the errand that we're to be in. We're to be seeking mercy, and we're to be seeking grace. When you enter boldly into the presence of God, you need to look for that mercy that is yours because of the work of the high priest. You need to look for that grace that is poured out upon you because of the work of the high priest. We enter boldly into God's presence. Just think, He's a holy God. And He accepts your presence. He accepts you and welcomes you to come into His presence. God in His justice, because He is a holy God and the wages of sin is death, He could justly never talk to you. Never. But He provides a way whereby we can enter into His presence boldly. Why? Because of the work of our high priest. The high priest is the one who opens the door of the throne of grace for us. It's a throne of grace. It's a throne. A throne room is a place of authority. A throne room is a place where there's one who rules. And you and I are welcome in the throne room of eternity. Because it's a throne room of grace. And we are to go into that throne room full of confidence, but with great humility. Because our humility is dependent upon our acknowledgement of the work of the high priest. We read today that we need to cast our anxiety on Him because He cares for you. So why do you hold on to your worries and anxiety? Why don't you dump them at the throne of grace? But we hang on to this stuff. Where is your boldness? We are to pray. That's how you enter into the throne of grace. Pray with humility. Pray seeking that mercy. Pray seeking that grace. We sing about these things. Do we carry them to the beach? Do we carry it to the family gathering? Do we carry it to work? We gather together on Sunday morning and we sing. We meditate upon these things. The question is, do you hang on to it? Is it what holds you together from day to day? That you are God's child and you have a high priest who intercedes for you. You see, we enter the Holy of Holies because of the blood of Christ. We enter the Holy of Holies through prayer, that throne of grace, because the work of the high priest as a sacrifice is done. We enter in and pour our hearts out because we are children. We belong there. you doing as a child? How are you doing? Do you pour your heart out to the one who loves you? Do you tell him what's on your mind? Do you seek for mercy? Do you seek for grace? You make this profession, but is it your character? Is this who you are? Or do you worry? Do you hang on to your anxieties? Do you pick up offenses that aren't yours? How are you doing? Your high priest is interceding for you. He takes your offerings and presents them to the Father. He poured out his blood for you. His mercy far exceeds our sin. And his grace just is poured out every day upon you. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we ask that our character would be such that we would hang on to this profession of faith that we have. That we would understand that indeed that throne of grace is open to us daily, all the time. Teach us to pray without ceasing. Teach us to understand that we are to be in communication with you all the time. That you do care for us, and that there's nothing in our lives that is not designed for our benefit and for your glory. We thank you for the work of the high priest. We thank you that he presently intercedes for us. We thank you that he presently is the one who enables us to have access to that throne of mercy and grace. We also thank you, Father, for the indwelling Spirit who also intercedes for us. We ask you, Lord, that in the process of understanding these things, that we would learn to intercede for one another, knowing that this high privilege we have is a privilege whereby we can enter into other people's lives and that we are able to effect change, that we are able to minister to other people. We ask, Lord, that we would understand these things and that we would spend time praying, that we would spend time accessing that mercy and grace that's so much available, and that we would remember who we are, children of God, born of the Spirit, with a citizenship in heaven. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to sing Marvelous Grace. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. Amen.